incoming transmission. May you imagine. Welcome to The Rebellion, another episode of Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. How are you guys doing today? Thank you guys for joining me, Alberto Calderon, your host as always, on another fantastic Saturday to talk some Star Wars, right? That's what we're here for, talking Star Wars. We always have fun talking Star Wars, don't we guys? Of course we do. And I'm glad to be here with you guys. I know I repeat myself 20 times when I begin this because I always have trouble starting for some reason. But yeah, we're going to have fun. A couple of news topics to discuss. A lot of Mandalorian Season 2 news. Maybe some Season 3. Some rumors as always when it comes to the Mandalorian. And then we'll head down. We'll do a rewind, Star Wars rewind of Star Wars, the Clone Wars movie. Not that TV series that we all love. But the one that started it all, the Clone Wars movie, and what our thoughts are from it. An old movie, it's 12 years old, I believe. It came out in 2008. For some reason, I thought 2007, I was back and forth. But I believe this is 2008. So, yeah, we'll discuss it. You guys, if you are in the chat, thank you for joining us on our live show. As always, most of you already are, but if not, make sure to subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed at the moment. You never know when new episodes or special episodes or something might drop. So make sure that you're always subscribed. Leave a thumbs up, a like. If you didn't like it, you can always do a thumbs down. We prefer not to, but let's be honest. If you didn't like the episode, give it a thumbs down. It's fine. We got our first thumbs down a few weeks ago. It's a surprise, but we welcome every line of thought when it comes to Star Wars. What else? Subscribe. Oh, leave a comment if you're watching this later on the replay. And of course, if you're listening to the audio podcast later on, leave us a rate and review. 1 star, 5 stars. You make up your own rating system. It doesn't matter. We'll take it. Let us know what you like about the show. If there's anything you want us to improve on a little bit, work on new topics, new segments on the show, and we'll try to work them in. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think we're ready to start. Let me say hi to our friend Michael from the 2Met2 Network. He's out there. Hey, yo, Michael, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us. Make sure everyone to tune to his channel. Make sure you subscribe to his channel and go to all his shows. He does plenty of shows every week. So, yeah, be ready. Let me see. Is there anything else? I think not. I think we're ready to start this show. And if you guys are ready, I know I'm ready. Let's talk Star Wars.
Star Wars news.
Star Wars news. So what's new in the world of Star Wars news? Not a lot. There's a few news topics to discuss, like I mentioned before, but not a lot, and that's fine. We're getting close to the release of Season 2 of The Mandalorian, so most of it is Mandalorian-related, which we don't mind. Finally, we're getting some Mando content. And then after this, I believe the High Republic, when it drops at the beginning of next year, all the new books, comic books, novels coming from the High Republic is the big new Star Wars thing to drop at the beginning of the year. And then what's next? I guess Bad Batch is the other thing that's in play. We still don't know when that might drop. There's a lot of rumors that's going to come out next year also. So we'll see. But right now, everything is Mandalorian and Mandalorian related, and we are okay with it. And since most of our news are Mando-related, we're bringing back our friendly segment, This Week in Mando News. So what's new in Mandalorian news? So let's start with some character posters that were released by the official Mandalorian Twitter account. And there you see him, our lead, the Mandalorian, Din Djarin. So yes, looks great. Nothing unexpected. This is something that not only Star Wars, but a lot of the big franchises out there do from time to time when new movies or series are going to drop, they start releasing character posters. And we got some for The Mandalorian. Again, this dropped earlier last week or this week. We're still in the same week. Some great posters reminded me a little bit of the Solo Star Wars story ones, just because of the color palette, that orange brown a little bit. But this is something. We have the Mandalorian, of course. And if we have the Mando, you know who we also have, right? Of course, the one that we all want to see. Baby Yoda himself, the child, we see him there. There's a lot of graffiti in the back. We see a lot of graffiti in the trailer also. People have said that this might point to Sabine Wren. Who knows? There's graffiti everywhere in Star Wars. So some of those planets are not in the best conditions. But people started analyzing all the graffiti in the back. I think that you can see there kind of a leaf. What else? A feather, I should say, similar to the Boba Fett symbol that he has on his shoulder. There's a couple of Gamorrean guards also in a lot of the artwork. So who knows? There is a lot of stuff to see in those character posters. We also get our friend Cara Dune, played by, there she is, Cara Dune, which we have a rumor to talk about her in a few minutes. And of course, who else? If the fourth person in our group, the great dresser himself, Greef Karga, is part of the character poster. So what do you guys think? What has been, from these four posters, which one is your favorite? I think the Mandalorian one is my favorite. It's, come on, of course it's going to be the Mando one. They're pretty cool. Nothing too out of there, too out of the ordinary. Again, character posters, we've seen some new images from all those four characters when the article came out. I want to say Entertainment Tonight, or Entertainment Weekly, sorry, a few weeks ago before the trailer dropped. So nothing surprising, but it's great to see more images about all the characters that we've become familiar with and that we all love. So yes, that was the first Mandalorian news that we got. We also had Jon Favreau was speaking with Variety, and even though season two hasn't dropped yet, it comes out in 2 weeks. Can you guys? It's Saturday today. So in less than 2 weeks, in 13 days, we'll be talking about Mandalorian season two. It's going to be awesome. Actually, in 2 weeks, we'll have our first official review of the Mandalorian season two. Still thinking of a name for our review segment. I have a poll out there on Twitter for a couple of names for the review. I still am not sure what I'm going to call my review shows. We're not going to do a separate recording just for reviewing The Mandalorian. We'll do it on our regular shows on Saturday. So they'll be a little bit different. Our show starting in 2 weeks. We're just going to focus on The Mandalorian reviews and then any special topic that we're doing. Mostly we're still doing our movie rewinds. Like I mentioned, we have the Clone Wars movie today. Then we still have Revenge of the Sith, Solo, Rogue One, the original trilogy, and the sequel trilogy. So we'll probably devote half of the show to The Mandalorian and then half to the movie rewinds. And we're going to be skipping the Star Wars news segment for the next few weeks when Mandalorian comes out. Unless there's a big news that drops, something that we definitely have to talk about, then we'll rearrange things. But for next week, we'll still do our same shows as always. And in 2 weeks, we'll only do half, first 30 minutes will be Mandalorian review. The other half is going to be our movie rewind. And yes, Mr. Rez, Tony himself, thanks for joining us. Yes, they all kick ass. They all look great. Nothing to be worried about from these character posters. Again, the characters that we know. So it might have been cool to get a new character there. Maybe some of those Gamorrean guards that we're going to see fighting, just to have one. They're fun. They will be cool. All right. So what else? Oh, I'm skipping. So we're talking that Jon Favreau was speaking with Variety and talking about season three. Season three is scheduled to start production at the end of the year. If I'm not mistaken, that's what he said. Start filming, actually, before the end of the year. So pre-production started while COVID was going on. So post-production for season two ended. Pre-production for season three has been going on. And then filming will start at the end of the year, which means that season four will most likely come out at around the same time, 2021. Then 2021 is going to be an interesting year. We have Mandalorian Season 3, most likely the Bad Batch coming at some point earlier in the year. And I don't have it on my topics. I think we discussed this last week. If not, I'm sorry. Cassian Andor starts filming in the next couple of months. So who knows if that comes out next year. So can you imagine that if we have the Bad Batch series at the beginning of the year, followed by the Cassian Andor Season 1, and then Mandalorian Season 3 in 2021. No movies, no Star Wars Celebration in 2021. But there's, right there, three new TV series. So that's going to be interesting. If not 2022, we hopefully get the Kenobi series, which starts recording in March. I guess spring 2021, so it should come out 2022, season 4 of The Mandalorian. Who knows, it's season 2 of Cassian. We do believe Cassian might, I don't know, is Cassian going to be a limited series like the Kenobi series, or will it go for 2 or 3 seasons? I'm not sure. I prefer it, keep it shorter, maybe 2 seasons, 3 at the most. If it's one, a limited series, I'm fine with it. That time period, again, gets too close to Rogue One, so we'll see. But yes, season 3 of The Mandalorian starts filming later this year. So incredible news, exciting news. And as of right now, give us all The Mandalorian that you can, as long as it doesn't go 5, 6, 7, 8 season. But yes, season 2 starts in 2 weeks. We all hope, our expectations are high. This is something that last year, it was Star Wars' first live action, so we had big expectations for it, but we didn't want to go too big because we didn't know what it was going to look like. Now, unfortunately, our expectations are really high, and that can backfire on us because we put too much pressure, I guess, on ourselves to like the show and to be as awesome as it was last time. But we'll see. And yes, let me see. How about... Come on, Michael. So how about calling my reviews Mando Season 2 reviews? So who knows? I think I'm trying to get a pun going with this is the way, or I have spoken, or something like that. But who knows? Maybe Mando Season 2 reviews might work. Just keep it simple, right? Who cares about the names? You're here to hear my takes on Star Wars. I'll just call them Alberto's reviews or something. No, Cassian is your father. Maybe. I wouldn't mind if Cassian was my father. He seemed pretty cool. No, he dies, so I don't know when. He just left at death. No, maybe not. All right, so what's next in Mandalorian reviews? I mean, Mandalorian news, and this is where the rumor comes in. Let's talk about this rumor real quick. Rumor again, everything we hope, not we hope, we wait till it's officially announced by Lucasfilm, Disney, or anyone at Star Wars, but the guys over at Kessel Run Transmission and I believe Latino Movie Reviews, they check with their sources and they are both confirming each other, I guess, that, again, rumor, if you don't want to listen to this, I don't think it's a spoiler. Again, it's just a rumor of a possible spin-off featuring Cara Dune and, let me put Cara Dune back out there. We all like Cara Dune. That's a great design. So yes, we all love Cara Dune in season 1 of The Mandalorian. I remember here on this show when we were talking about possible spin-offs, because this is something that was mentioned long ago in one of those Disney investor calls that they were trying to spin off some characters from season 2. And Cara Dune was one of the ones that we talked about. But the rumors now are that she's going to be joined by Mandalorian herself, Bo-Katan, in the Cara Dune spin-off series. So let's talk about that. I know there's some issues with Gina Carano's comments, and we'll try to separate the person from the artist and just talk about the possibility of a Cara Dune spin-off with Bo-Katan. So when we talked about this months and months ago, I wanted to see a spin-off with Cara Dune, but going to her past as a Republic jump trooper, going after the Imperial Remnants and all that stuff, going all the way to where we meet her in Mandalorian. I think that will be a great show. But also if her story in Mando Season 2 ends and we want to see how it continues by herself with Bo-Katan, that's another great way to go about it. Again, we have the Kenobi series coming, which is in a time set period. We have the Cassian Andor, at a set time period. And I always say it can go too long because then you mess with the timeline and continuity. if you go back with Cara Dune and do again another, basically a prequel, then you run into the same issue. So maybe going forward with her story is the way to go. You don't have those constraints. Bring Bo-Katan, which is a fan favorite from the Clone Wars and Rebels. Keep the Mandalorian theme going. You can have Mando come back. Who knows what's happening with Sabine, Ahsoka, and all that. They're all related in the Star Wars universe with Bo-Katan's story. So there's a lot that you can do there. I know people went a little bit crazy because, again, taking the personal thing that Gina Carano has said, story-wise, it works. At the beginning, I was like, I wasn't too in favor of it, but then started thinking about it. Remember what I said months ago again, before all this came out, Cara Dune was a fan favorite. Everyone loved her portrayal. And if they want to continue her story, let's not look at the Disney side of it and the political face of it. Story-wise, it might work. So we'll see. So let me see what you guys are saying out there. Michael, don't read out loud. I won't read out loud. That's what it says. I'm taking this out. And then I am down for this. And normies will watch it, which is what we need for Star Wars. So, yes, I'm down for a Cara Dune series. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of spin-offs that they can do, and we'll see all the new characters that come from season 2 and more from it. But we will see. What else? So I think that's it. Actually, I didn't have it on my notes, but there is a... It came out yesterday, I think, a quick promo for season 2 of The Mandalorian saying that there is a special look, probably, and the second trailer dropping on Monday Night Football this coming Monday in 2 days at 9 o'clock. Or Monday Night Football is at 9. So it's usually a half, either right at the beginning or at halftime where those trailers drop. It might be closer to 10:30 or something. So, yes, season 2 trailer might drop in 2 days. Are you guys going to watch it? I don't know. I've been on the fence. I really don't want to watch it because we're so close to the premiere of season 2. So I want to stay fresh in my mind because I think there might be some spoilers on them in the trailer, I should say. But I'm afraid that they'll be on Twitter in 5 minutes after it happens. If Ahsoka shows up or Sabine really shows up or something happens, there might be a spoiler in there and it's not going to last for 2 weeks. So I might just watch it afterwards anyways and then talk about it in our show next week. But let me know, are you guys going to watch that trailer when it drops on Monday Night Football or whenever it's put on YouTube 2 minutes later or 30 seconds later, I should say. Those are the Star Wars news for you guys. I mean, not the Star Wars news, the Mando news. And our friend Tony, Mr. Red, said that guaranteed he's going to watch it. I think I'll watch it. I know I say no, but I can't hold myself. I watch all the movie trailers. I watch them. So, yeah, I'll watch them. I won't do not a review. What do you call it? A first reaction. I won't do one of those like we did last time for the first trailer. But we'll do... We'll talk about it next week. All right, so our next official Star Wars news that everyone seems to be happy for the most part is Lego Star Wars Holiday Special is coming out direct to streaming on Disney Plus November 17th. So who doesn't like a Lego Star Wars? So Lego Star Wars is one of those things that can be young, old, it doesn't matter. Everyone loves a good Lego Star Wars stories. The Lego Star Wars games are great. I remember playing those. All the TV little segments and cartoons they have are real funny. That trailer for this is really entertaining. So, yes, people started going nuts because there's a still from the episode showing Vader and Rey. And, of course, the Twitter fans, I guess, if you want to keep it civil, just went nuts. How can this be? It's breaking timeline, breaking continuity. Vader will destroy her. Dude, just leave it. It's a Lego special. Please don't start bringing all canon stuff. Is this canon? Is it not? That can happen. This happens. Forget about it. It's Lego Star Wars. It's a special. Let's watch it. Let's enjoy it. This is something that every Star Wars fan from any level, hardcore, just started watching last week. 6-year-old, 60 years old, man, woman, anyone can enjoy this. So yes, let's enjoy a little bit of fun with Star Wars, which is what we all fell in love with at the beginning. Fun with Star Wars. So yes, Lego Star Wars Story coming out November 17th on Disney Plus. So yes, get on it. Let's watch it. We'll talk about it. A news that it's not as happy for some people as the Lego Star Wars Story was Luke's fate, according to my old friend. I wish I knew him. George Lucas himself. So according to the new book, Star Wars, Fascinating Facts by Pablo Hidalgo, it confirms that George Lucas, on his sequel trilogy treatment, had Luke Skywalker also dying in episode 8. So, okay, great. That should be the end of the story. It confirms what a lot of us thought that was going to happen anyway. At some point, Luke it makes sense for the story moving on that Luke Skywalker passes on to the Force, becomes one with the Force, and then mentors Rey. And before we knew anything about Rey or what was going to happen, we knew that he should pass on and then be that Obi-Wan Yoda type moving forward to the last chapter. I always thought that he was going to die in episode 8. I remember my brother saying in episode 9 is when he thought it was going to happen. But no. So episode 8 in George Lucas' original treatment had Luke dying also. So then you have both camps. The pro The Last Jedi going, huh? I told you. I mean, are you guys mad now, Rian Johnson? See, George Lucas had him dying on 8, so just shut up. And then people on the other edge going, oh, it doesn't matter. It's the way that he died. Rian Johnson didn't treat him properly, so George Lucas would really know what to do with him. Again, it doesn't matter. It's a story that never happened. We saw some other lines from this book talking about the different iterations of Rey, or that female character that George Lucas always had, a female Jedi leading the franchise in the sequel trilogy. So again, start complaining about JJ bringing Rey, making her the lead, and all this SJW, all that stuff. That was the plan from the beginning. But again, it's something out there. It didn't happen. A bunch of the other stuff in that book has been in the art of books from the sequel trilogy in Force Awakens, Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. They have been mentioned there. Knowing that Luke was going to die anyway in episode 8. Again, it's a fact that I believe what's going to happen anyways, but people just go nuts. Anything that doesn't align perfectly with your same thoughts, people go nuts on Twitter because it's easy over there to complain and be anonymous and all that stuff. But it doesn't matter. And yeah, like Michael is saying, it's Lego. It's fun fan fiction. Let's just have fun with Lego Star Wars. They're just hilarious. They're very fun, very entertaining. And sometimes in life, especially in 2020, that's what we need, a little bit of levity. And Lego Star Wars does that. And with that said, we are done with our news. So yes, let me know again if you guys are watching this later in the replay. Shoot me down a message on the comments below. Any thoughts on Mandalorian Season 2 coming out? All those character posters that we just saw, if there was something that I missed or other people missed in those graffiti artwork back there. That Cara Dune series, is it a good call by Disney, knowing the backlash that Gina Carano has faced? Should they go a different way? Should they stick with it? What other type of spin-off shows would you like to see? The Season 2 trailer number 2, you're going to watch on Monday Night Football. And of course, Lego Star Wars, how many times are you going to watch it when it comes out? So let me know here down on the comments, or if you're listening to this on the podcast Monday or any day next week or in 3 months when you're listening to it, send me a message on Twitter. I'll respond to all of you guys. And we'll see. All right. So our main topic today, we've been doing our Star Wars Rewind, as we call them. And we're going back and not reviewing or doing a play-by-play of all the theatrical releases, but just remembering what it was, the build-up for those movies and everything that we felt watching them after coming out and throughout the year. So we did The Phantom Menace a few weeks ago. Last week we talked about Attack of the Clones. And this week, is it going to be Revenge of the Sith? No, there's something in the middle. It came afterwards, after Revenge of the Sith came out, 3 years later. But timeline-wise, it came before, and it is the sometimes forgotten Attack of the Clones. Sorry, what did I just say? No, it's Star Wars, the Clone Wars movie. Yes, so the Clone Wars movie, which came out 12 years ago, is that right? Yes, 12 years ago, in the big screen, Star Wars' first animated theatrical release, if I'm not mistaken, directed by Star Wars semi-god, I should say, Dave Filoni. And there's a lot of thoughts about this. It's unfortunately right down there in the bottom when it comes to people's ranking next to Attack of the Clones. So unfortunately, the two clones movies are usually in the bottom. But being on Twitter this past couple of weeks, or past month or so, I should say, the Attack of the Clones, it's has been getting a lot of praise. There's a lot of people behind this movie that have it either as their favorite of the prequel trilogy, and some people even have it after favorite Star Wars movie. It's not mine, but great. I love hearing all those comments and reasoning behind why a movie that a lot of us don't feel that connection to, why other people do have that connection to those movies. Even if it's like last week, one of our listeners, she said, it's hard to explain, but there are so many different reasons why I love this movie so much, talking about Attack of the Clones. And the Clone Wars might be the same thing. I have a different reaction than other people out there, but let's see what you guys think and what I thought about it. Before we go there, so this is the first movie that before I watched it, I said, I'm going to read the novel. So I'm going to do two things. Well, not two things. I have something. I'm not too happy about the placement yet, but I got another camera. And look at that. Now we have two ways of looking at myself. This book right there, Star Wars, The Clone Wars by Karen Travis, was two things. First off, let me get back to my original camera. There we go. The Clone Wars by Karen Travis. Two things. This is the first book that I read before watching the movie. We all know Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, all those people say it's not as good as the book. This is the first one when I got the novel first, which came out before the movie, and that doesn't happen anymore now. It always comes after, just to avoid any spoilers. But I read this before the movie, and I was extremely excited about it. I'll get to it in a few minutes. But this is also the first Star Wars book that I ever read. So my love for Star Wars publishing and reading Star Wars stuff, thank you, Karen Travis. If you're watching or reading this, you're the one that got me into Star Wars reading. I really, really loved this book when I first read it. All right, so let's start off with the trailer. So the trailer has a lot of cool stuff in it. We have our first look at Ahsoka Tano. We didn't know anything about Ahsoka Tano. I don't remember the build-up to this movie. There's a new Padawan coming, so I'm just seeing that trailer a few days ago. Our first look at Ahsoka. Our first look, another fan favorite, Asajj Ventress. We also have Jabba the Hutt makes an appearance in the trailer. A bunch of clones that we all love. One of my favorite things from Attack of the Clones were all the new clones that we got to see. So seeing them in action in the trailer for the Clone Wars movie was exciting. And there's a shot of General Grievous I'm going to mention later because it's a little, not bait and switch, but it's a little, oh, General Grievous is in this. And they use Duel of the Fates. That great John Williams thing from The Phantom Menace makes an appearance during the Clone Wars trailer. Excuse me. It's used pretty much, I'm going to say at least half of it. Half of that trailer has Duel of the Fates in the background. And it works. That movie makes anything better. I mean, that soundtrack makes everything better. So it did work for this trailer. So all in all, as a first teaser trailer for the Clone Wars movie, it worked. It was a nice trailer. We get new characters, we're introduced to new characters in there. We see Obi-Wan and Anakin kicking butt with their lightsaber skills. We have Jabba the Hutt that we know. We have Count Dooku. Like I mentioned, Grievous there for a little bit. All the clones, there's this war going. So it sets the mood for what we're going to see, hopefully see when the movie comes out. So that's the trailer. The poster. So I didn't have several different pictures to say, but it's basically the same one without all the graphics around it. You have our main characters. Yoda's there, which is, again, Yoda doesn't have too much to do in the movie. He does a few things, but he doesn't fight. I don't think he ignites his lightsaber in the whole movie. All the clones, we have Cody, we have Rex. Rex, we're going to talk about him. Anakin and Obi-Wan in the great Clone Wars armor, which is awesome. Hopefully, the rumors again, the Kenobi series is going to have them again with this armor. We have Ahsoka back there with a green lightsaber, all the Republic troops, the spaceships. So it's an action poster, I guess is the best way to explain it. So yes, a nice poster, nothing compared to the first teaser poster for The Phantom Menace, the teaser poster for Attack of the Clones with Anakin and Padme with a Jedi I should not know, compassion, love, I can't remember exactly, that's another great teaser poster. This is another poster you will see out there for any action movie. All right, so what were our thoughts and expectations going to this movie? So like I mentioned, when this was coming out, I saw that book and I said, I'm going to buy the book. I'm going to read it and be there because I want to know what's going on. I always hear about everyone saying, oh, the book for this movie is better. I never had that experience. Let's read it. So like I said, my first Star Wars book that I ever read was Karen Travis' Attack of the Clones novelization. And it blew my mind. I loved that book. I kind of read it. I haven't read it since back then. This is where I fell in love with Captain Rex. I've always said that Rex is my favorite clone trooper, and it all started because of this book. The way he's there for his clones, for his troops, is awesome. There's some great scenes here. Asajj Ventress is terrifying in the book where she's stalking Rex and the clones. And this is something, I'll talk about it when I came out of the movie. So that's what got me excited about seeing this movie, is how much I love this book. So again, it's Star Wars. So if there's any Star Wars out there, we're going to go watch it. First animated movie, so excited about that. And at that point, there was no more Star Wars. Revenge of the Sith was 3 years ago. What I don't remember, and I'm going to guess that the answer is yes, is if we knew that the Clone Wars series was coming out after this movie, or was the movie the only thing, and then a while back, the Clone Wars series was announced. I believe Clone Wars came out also in 2008, and this movie came out August of 2008, so it might have been just a few weeks after. So it was all planned, but I don't really remember. So excited about seeing another Star Wars movie, excited about being an animated movie that we hadn't seen before. And my best guess, I know now, I'm going to leave it for the end when we talk about As the Rebellion segment and a new fan segment that we have at the end. We have a comment about it, so we'll talk about it later. All right, so where were our thoughts coming out from the movie the first time? So again, it was Star Wars. So yes, I was happy that I saw a Star Wars movie. I wasn't jumping out of my seat after watching it. It wasn't like even Attack of the Clones when we came out of that theater. It was all about Anakin and the Sand People and Yoda versus Dooku. There was at least the two things everyone was talking at that point. When I came out of this movie, there was nothing that stood out. But again, I was happy with Star Wars, saw it in the movie theater. Yeah, it's great. An hour and 20 minutes, an hour and a half. So yeah, I enjoyed it. Nothing to really go back and see it again. What I didn't like is it didn't live up to the book. Like I've already said a bunch of times, I really enjoyed this book. I was one of those. I know, I don't want to say it. Well, the book is better than the movie. That was me coming out. Oh, they didn't touch on this. They didn't expand on this topic. Why didn't they show this instead of that? And the main thing goes again to Rex and Asajj Ventress. In the book, if I'm remembering right, I haven't read it in 12 years. That scene when they're in the palace or that monastery on Teth. Again, this is a spoiler review or spoiler talk. In the book and in the movie also, Anakin and the clones go inside the temple, barricade themselves behind the doors, but and then Ventress and I want to say the robots, the droids are trying to come after them. Anakin and Ahsoka are on their way. They're trying to get out of there with the little hotlet Rota. And Rex and the clones say, we'll hold them back. That scene of them trying to hold back Ventress and the droids and everything that happens, all the clones that died, everything Rex needs to do to try to keep them alive, save them, still provide backup for or cover for Anakin. All that stuff is great in the book. Ventress, again, like I said, she's terrifying. And in the movie, this doesn't play a role. They do barricade themselves inside, but the only thing you see, they come in, and then everyone's dead, basically. And Rex is plain dead, tries to shoot her, and then Ventress force chokes Rex, tell me where Anakin is, and does a mind trick on him. No, it skipped like, I don't know how many pages in the book or even chapters were just dedicated to that. And that's what I was really excited to see in the movie. And it didn't happen. So that's the first thing that I said, how can they don't spend much time, a lot of time in this, which to me was one of the best parts about the book. Didn't really make it to the movie. Yes, you're right. 15-year spoiler, but that's fine. Some people still want to go back and rewatch things and reread. So that's the first thing. Out from the movie, okay, it's a Star Wars movie, so I'm happy about it. It didn't live up to the book or what I remembered. And at that point, I've read the book just a few weeks before, so yes, I was really excited about it. It didn't live up to it. Like I mentioned before, it was okay, but it was really nothing special coming out of it. So how have my thoughts about this movie changed throughout the years? So I liked it enough that I bought it on DVD when it came out. Was it something that I had everything else Star Wars related, so let's just buy this? Maybe. But I want to think that I enjoyed it enough that I'm just going to buy it and keep it and watch it from time to time. One thing I'm trying to remember, because this came out August 2008, that's the same year I moved here to the States from Puerto Rico, and trying to remember where I went to see it. I mean, there's only two theaters here, but I don't remember. I usually remember when I went to see a movie. At least there's something in there. I don't remember exactly when I went to see this. I'm pretty sure I went with myself. I went with myself also. By myself, because at that point, my girlfriend, my wife now, she didn't go to this, I'm pretty sure. But I don't remember that. I'm guessing that's talking about experiences coming out. That's probably not a good sign. But I did buy this. I remember watching it with my kids. We have all our kids' movie, and this is in there in that kids section when we start. Okay, what do you guys want to watch? Especially my daughter, who's a little bit 3 years older than my son. This is a movie that she picked out a few times. And of course, at that time, 3 or 4 year old daughter would say, yeah, I want to watch a movie. Let's watch Star Wars. Yes, put the Clone Wars movies, I'll watch it. So it has that relationship with me that if I want to watch it with my kids, then yes, I'll sit down, I'll enjoy it. But it's one of those that I'll start watching. I'll get up, get something to eat, something to drink, go to the bathroom, do whatever. I wouldn't pause it. Every other Star Wars movie, I'll pause it. I'll be right back. This one, just let it play. I'll come right back. So it's there as a Star Wars movie. My experiences with it haven't changed that much. Just that I have that connection now of watching it with my kids at home when they wanted to see it, which again is a great memory. So for that, thank you, Star Wars, the Clone Movies animated movie. Thank you for giving that to me. We just now move on to the actual Clone Wars series and more Rebels, which I really watch with my kids. I got still doing a Rebels rewatch. When we finish, we're halfway through season 3. We'll do the same thing. We'll do a rewind for the Rebels series. That's going to be a fun one. Whoa. All right, so let me take a breather. So what did we like about this movie? And there's a couple of things. Don't think that it's just going to be negative. For Brian out there at Pink Milk, he tweeted, I hope you liked it. And I said, oh, we'll see. We got to see you got to watch the episodes. But there was a few things that we did like. The beginning, it starts with that now iconic Clone Wars logo. Clone Wars theme music by Kevin Kiner is great. Listen it again, basically for the first time. And that classic narration that we get in all the Clone Wars episodes starts with this movie. Again, watching it now, this is a rewind, so we're talking about everything behind it. Watching it now gets in that Clone Wars mindset. We're introduced to Captain Rex. Like I mentioned, my favorite clone trooper. He's still here. Still love him. Still being that good soldier that he is. So we're introduced to Captain Rex. Music by Kevin Kiner. Like I said, it starts, I want to say, I'm guessing this is his first foray into Star Wars music. And he does a good job for the most part. There's one thing that we'll talk about later that it didn't work for me. The intro battle in the planet Christophsis is pretty great. It's a very good battle to begin with. Anakin and Obi-Wan fighting against all the droids. We have all the clone troopers. And thinking about it now, it's a great parallel or a great bookend to season 7 of the Clone Wars. So here we have the first thing that we've seen about the Clone Wars. It's Anakin and Obi-Wan with the clones battling unsurmountable odds in this new planet of Christophsis against the Separatists, the droid army, and all these big spider-looking droids coming against them. They're trying to figure out a way to do something, and then at a point, Kenobi tells Rex, oh, Anakin has a plan, let's let him do it. And then you go to season 7 of the Clone Wars, X amount of years later, there's two scenes very similar to this. First, in that first 4 episodes with the Bad Batch, I think it's the last episode where Anakin and Crosshairs, I think, are in the cliff, and there's these big droids, basically the same spider droids, and Anakin starts jumping on top of each other, chopping them down with the lightsaber. It's very similar to what he did at the beginning of this movie. And also at the end of season 7, in that first episode of The Siege of Mandalore, Kenobi's hiding, he's getting beaten by the droids, and then Anakin comes in with Rex 501st, with a weird plan to save the day. He does a similar thing here with Ahsoka trying to destroy the shield generator. So I think it's a great bookend that it starts and ends with very similar battles with Anakin, Kenobi, and the droids, and the clones trying to push on either side to see which one can win the day. So I think it's a great bookend to that story. Let's say again, I don't know why I say that. I'm trying my throat's parched. I said it last week. I gotta get some water here when I'm doing this show, and I always forget about it. Like I said, we have our first look at Asajj Ventress, introduced to who I think is the first female antagonist in a Star Wars, and also our first female dark side user. If I'm not mistaken, the design for, I think, one of these, Asajj was going to be the villain, I think, for episode 2, right? For Attack of the Clones, but they decided to go with Count Dooku. But they brought her back for the Clone Wars movie and, of course, for Clone Wars TV series, Dark Disciple, and all that great content that she's done later. So Asajj Ventress is another one of those characters. I want to say similar to Ahsoka. I know Ahsoka is up here for a lot of people. But Asajj Ventress is also very popular. It's one of those characters that through the years has become more and more liked by the Star Wars fan, and we're asking more from about to learn more about her or from her. You know what I'm saying? We have that great quote for the first time from Rex, and experience outranks everything, which we carry throughout the Clone Wars. Ahsoka says it at the end. Well, is it at I think it's in Rebels when she tells him, then I really outranked you, because we know everything that she's went through. But when he says that for the first time, then we have Ahsoka replying with, then I'll have to start earning some, which again, we know where Ahsoka's story goes, and she did earn all that experience. So again, another great quote 12 years ago that makes a lot of great sense now, 12 years later, with everything that happened in Clone Wars, Siege of Mandalore, and then with Rebels, she did earn all that experience. Obi-Wan being referred again as the negotiator, again on Christophsis, when that Separatist leader, I don't know his name, surrounds him. Kenobi goes, okay, I surrender. Now let's negotiate the terms of my surrender. Again, the negotiator. And when he's sent to negotiate a treaty with Jabba, trying to get his son back to get access to the Hoth's hyperspace lane. So the negotiator, we said it last week, I need a story about Obi-Wan negotiating throughout the galaxy. Give me that Batman, Bruce Wayne, Obi-Wan Kenobi type novel out there. I'll definitely review it for you guys. The Ray, send me something to review. Battle droids are real funny here. We have a great scene at the beginning when one of them, what does he say? Concentrate fire on sector 138, blah, 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 blah. Concentrate fire on sector one. And then just push it. Shoot right there, or just fire right there. And then one of them just stumbles down. Sir, are you okay? So the battle droids are real fun in this one. And we do have good lightsaber battles between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Asajj Ventress. And also Anakin Skywalker versus Count Dooku at the end. So that's it. That's basically what I liked about it. There's some good stuff at the beginning. The middle is kind of blah. And then the lightsaber battles are pretty interesting. And we can see also the evolution of lightsaber battles in the Clone Wars series, how they started here and then progressed. So what did I didn't like? So no surprise, Ahsoka's clothing designer, again, I know this is 2008, but looking at it through 2020 glasses, having how old is Ahsoka here, 13, 14, I don't have the time in my head right now, 12 to 14, let's say, she has a crop top. It's a bad design, I think. Appearance-wise, clothing-wise, you don't want to put now a child with that type of clothing. So it's weird. I'm never really a fan of nicknames. So all these Kai guys, this Nips, Stinky, R2-y, even when they call Anakin Annie in Attack of the Clones, no, unless it's Shmi calling her son Annie, everything else just feels creepy. And again, Sky Guy, oh no. Snips, okay, I get it, but no. Stinky, say it once, it just goes, and so Stinky, 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 and then at the end, Ahsoka starts calling R2 is here, R2-y, just drop it. It's one of those jokes that maybe say it once, you're done, but keep going, it's like, yeah, I don't know. The middle is blah. You know, the middle is kind of, well, the middle was blah, Michael. You know how we do it here. So, yes, I mentioned Kevin Kiner's theme at the beginning. It does start well. It's his introduction to Star Wars music. But there's a scene where they're going up this mountain cliff on Teth trying to enter this temple that it just picks up, and it's basically a rock theme. It's just rock music. Hey. I'm a metalhead. I love hard rock. It doesn't fit in Star Wars. And coming from Kevin Kiner with everything that's now, everything from him that we now know, this didn't sit well there, didn't work. I know it's an action scene, but no, it doesn't go in Star Wars. This sounds like one of those times that people said, yeah, that's the studio jumped in and said, oh, we need more action. Put something there that's loud, heavy, and fast. And and they caved. So, yes, I'm glad that it's only happened once and then no more. Cyril the Hutt with his southern drawl. I can't do a Louisiana Cajun drawl, but no. Cyril, get him out of there. I don't like his design with the little feather. The face tattoos are fine with the feather. His Louisiana, his southern drawl, nah, not for me. Keep him talking in Hutties. That's the word that works for those guys. And then let's talk about it. Ahsoka, yes. Ahsoka was very annoying the first time that we meet her. Still annoying, but knowing where her story goes and where it ends, it doesn't matter now. Because I know that's not the character that grows. She grows so much far away from the person that we meet in this movie that it doesn't bother me because I know where it's going. So, yes, it's annoying, but we know where it's going, and that's fine because it grows to a great character. Watching this movie, it's like, okay. And then, again, all the Sky Guys and the R2-y and things like that don't help. At the same time, and I want to keep beating on it, being a father of a 10-year-old daughter, I know that attitude. So that attitude that she has towards Anakin and towards Rey, I know. And I know it's going to keep coming from on my end. I gotta get ready when my daughter gets a little bit older. But I know that attitude of, I got it. I know it. No, don't worry about it. And then, oops, sorry, I guess I didn't know. So I understand the character. Maybe she's annoying for a reason, because for her age, that's how kids do act, even if it's in a galaxy far, far away. So yeah, that's it. My final thoughts on the Clone Wars TV movie, the Clone Wars movie from 2008, it's that it's basically an extended episode of Clone Wars. If you don't release this on the theaters and just have it as a 4-episode or 3-episode arc, then it works as a TV show. As a movie, no, just an extent. And again, it's basically all action, which should be, make me happy. But there wasn't enough in the in-between action piece to bring you into the story, to draw you in. The story, they have to save Jabba's son because they need access to the hyperspace lanes. It's something that we've seen before or afterwards, I should say, in the Clone Wars. So it's not that big, deserves a movie, deserves a big theater experience. It was the first Star Wars animated, so I do understand why they released it. We'll talk about it also in a few minutes. But it just feels as an extended Clone Wars episode. Those are my thoughts on the Clone Wars movie. Let me know, again, you guys in the comments, listening to this later, send me your thoughts on Twitter or wherever, and we'll talk about them. All right, so let's move to my favorite part of the show. I just want to listen to you guys, and we're doing things a little bit different because not only are we talking about Ask the Rebellion, as we always do, let me bring my Ask the Rebellion, where we hear from you guys. We are also debuting a new segment to our show, which is called Rebel Thoughts. So here, since we've been talking about the movies and doing our rewinds, I'm always asking you guys, what are your thoughts on The Phantom Menace? What are your thoughts on Attack of the Clones? So I decided, you know what? We're going to combine this. So instead of just doing Ask the Rebellion and you guys sending me your questions, I want to hear what you guys thought about watching these movies for the first time or how you feel about them now. So we're combining Ask the Rebellion with Rebel Thoughts, where, again, you guys tell me your thoughts on the movies. Come on, that's a great graphic, right? Rebels! You all rebels, aren't you? So let's go to the first one, actually, is an Ask the Rebellion question, and it comes from our friend, the Duchess herself, Duchess Satine, at Manda Satine, writes, do you think releasing the movie in theaters was a beneficial move in spite of a generally negative reception? Did releasing it in theaters create unrealistic expectations in the audience? Did a theatrical release help to inform more people about the show? So yes, I think I touched on a few of these items before, but let's go ahead. So do I think that releasing the movie in theaters was a beneficial move in spite of a generally negative reception? Yes. Again, and for the reason that this was Star Wars' first animated movie or first animated venture and first animated TV show. They had to make a big spectacle about this, and I think releasing in theaters was the way to go back then. Again, 2008. Yeah, let's go big or go home, right? It's Star Wars. We need to put it out there. Did it create unrealistic expectations in the audience? Yes. I just talked about it. It did feel like an extended version of the Clone Wars episode. So when you go to a movie, you expect this big thing. And I think that's why it felt like it's all action. It doesn't have those slower moments in between, those slower beats, which if you go to then the other end, to the end of Clone Wars, the Siege of Mandalore, which it's a lot of action, but there's a lot of slower moments in between. That third episode, Shattered, when Order 66 happened, is my favorite one, and it starts so slow, it builds up. You need those moments. If it's just action, 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 there's nothing to slow you down, engage with what's happening, know the stakes. So yes, it does create expectation that they had to make it a spectacle when in reality, just more episodes basically extended into a whole movie without TV commercials. And did the theatrical release help to inform more people about the show? I don't know. That's a tough one. We'll have to go back and research that one. I want to say yes. That's the main reason I think about releasing it in the big screen was to inform more people about the show. All the hardcore fans knew that the show was coming, but releasing it in the theaters was to bring more people in. So it was to help inform. I don't know if it really did. But thanks again, Dr. Satin, for your questions. They're always great. I know you're trying to get on a few podcasts. I'll reach out to you. We'll see if we can get you here. Talking about the Clone Wars, you're a big Obi-Wan fan, same as me, you and Satin and all those theories out there. All right, so what else do we have? And then we have from our friends, I hope you guys are listening to this guy, Carbonite Combos, at Carbonite Combos. I'd like to hear what your initial thoughts were on Ahsoka's character just based off of this movie. So not to repeat myself, but I will, because you asked the question. So yes, like I mentioned, initial thoughts. Let me not go with my thoughts just watching it now. So yes, like I said, she was annoying. I didn't like her. I didn't like all her Sky Guy and using all these names to call R2 and Stinky. Again, when this came out, I'm 28 years old. I wasn't into it. This is not. Why does Anakin need this Padawan? Back then, we all just wanted someone to kick ass. Again, it's going to be Kenobi and Anakin. Anakin needs to have this badass Padawan. No, we get Ahsoka, this little 13-year-old girl. Yeah, I wasn't into it. But then, of course, the show came on. We grow with the character, becomes something different. But just coming out of it, I was on board with everyone else that wasn't an Ahsoka fan. Yes, it's not a great. I'm not going to sit here and say, no, I was always on board. I knew where they were going. And no, I wasn't a fan of Ahsoka when the movie came out. But we all grow, same as she did. So thanks, Carbonite Combos. Make sure you guys are following them, not just on Twitter, but also on YouTube and on their podcast. They have some great shows over there, so make sure you are. And talking about another great podcast, this couple is great, and their name is great. From Comic Book Couples Counseling at CBCC Podcast, they write, and this is some of their rebel thoughts. Really disliked the movie when it first came out, and we were those dweebs going, Genndy Tartakovsky's did this way better. But it grew into possibly our favorite iteration of Star Wars content. Wild. So yes, I'm on board with everything that you guys are saying. And I wrote back to you guys. I forgot that this movie came after the Tartakovsky Clone Wars. For some reason, I thought that was afterwards. But yes, because the Tartakovsky's Clone Wars came out before Revenge of the Sith. So 2005, 2004 to 2005, when those cartoons came out. Great mini-series mini-series. They were very short episodes, less than like 5 or 7 to 10 minutes each episode. Micro-series, I should say. Loved it. Grievous was great in it. Did we get Ventress on that? I want to say no. Again, I want to keep that Ventress was brought in for the Clone Wars movie. I don't remember if I said, Tartakovsky did it better. But yeah, I wasn't really too much into it like you guys are saying. But yeah, it grew into some of the best Star Wars out there. I know from doing this podcast, some of the guests I've had, Clone Wars is their favorite thing in Star Wars. And they've been Star Wars fans their whole life. They watch all the movies. The Clone Wars. That's what this great storytelling in the Clone Wars. So yeah, you're not alone in saying that the Clone Wars is some, if not the best, Star Wars out there for a lot of people. And then Baby Skeletor at Skeletor Baby. That's a great creepy name. He says, positives. Better portrayal of the Obi-Wan and Anakin relationship over the prequels. Debut of Ahsoka, Christopher Lee returning as the voice of Dooku, all those were great. And negative, the hot stuff was a drag. This story as a whole was completely forgettable. So yes, Skeletor Baby Skeletor. Again, agree. We've talked about it. It's so great to see Ahsoka for the first time. We get more of that Obi-Wan and Anakin relationship, which does work in this movie. Christopher Lee as Dooku. Who else? I think Sam Jackson came back for the voice of Mace Windu, so great to have those back. The hot stuff, like I mentioned, didn't work. The story of, yeah, let's just pick up, we gotta rescue Jabba the Hutt's son because we need the hyperspace lane, doesn't make for a very exciting story for a movie, and yeah, it's forgettable. I actually forgot what the story was before watching it yesterday. So yeah, you're not wrong. And our final thought comes from fan of the show, which we like when she's here. We talk when she has some great insights into Star Wars, and all her thoughts are awesome. We love when she's here. It's Kat at Vader's Girl 28 when she said, "I camped outside waiting for this movie. Was very torn with this movie when I first saw it. Love it now, though." So thanks, Kat, for your thoughts on this movie, or your Rebel thoughts. So interesting to hear this, because like I just said, and other people said, we didn't like it really too much when it came out, but knowing where the Clone Wars went into and how it grew, we all love the Clone Wars. So the beginning to where it ended is great. You're saying similar, that you weren't too much of a fan of it, but you grew to really enjoy the movie. Which again is great. That's what I want to hear. That, yeah, it wasn't too good, but the more I watched it, or I have different feelings about it now, I really love it, really enjoyed it. Great. Thanks, Kat, for your Rebel thoughts. I love hearing from you guys and hearing that. So thank you. Thanks again to Manda Satin, Carbonite Combos, Comic Book Counseling Couple, and Baby Skeletor, and Kat for your thoughts and questions about the Clone Wars movie. Oh, look at this. We're going to take a live question right now. I'm scared of this, but Michael Tumetud said he has a question. Let's see if he writes a question now. There's always a delay between when the question comes out on YouTube and it gets displayed here for me. So we'll give him a few minutes for the question to come in. I forgot about a lot of things I was gonna be showing, but that's fine, it doesn't matter. So that brings an end to our show as we wait for Michael's question. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I was a little bit down this week. I wasn't sure if I was gonna have a show or not for some reason. I don't know. I didn't feel like there was a lot to talk about. I really wasn't. Again, I wasn't feeling doing the show this week. I was feeling sleepy this morning, and right before doing the show, I wanted to take a nap, which I didn't. But here we are. And as always, as soon as I start talking to you guys, talking Star Wars, everything goes. So I had a lot of fun with you guys on the chat, Michael and Tony, Mr. Rez. So thank you. And here's Michael's question. Let's see what Michael asks on the fly. So let's see. I don't have time to prep for this question. Michael asks, who would win in a lightsaber duel, Clone Wars Anakin or OT Vader? OT Vader. We're not talking about Rogue One Vader. So OT Vader. Let's do Empire Strikes Back Vader versus Clone Wars Anakin. I'm a purist. So I want to go with OT Vader. I think the Vader of Empire Strikes Back, it's almost unbeatable. He's toying with Luke Skywalker so much that it's laughable. He has to be having so much fun at that point. He's using the Force plus lightsaber dueling at the same time with Luke. He's blocking every shot, and then he's not using his hands to throw things at Luke and move everything from the walls and throwing. He's just there with his lightsaber. And with his mind, using the Force with his mind, he's moving things to throw at Luke. Not a lot of people do that. If you watch every other Star Wars movie, the Emperor, Yoda, everyone else, when they use the Force, they gotta use their hands. So Vader's just sitting there, both hands on his lightsaber, throwing things at Luke. So I think he would use Anakin's anger and emotions against him. At this point, Vader, it's in control as much as you can of his emotions. So I think he would use Anakin's anger against him. If it's a lightsaber duel, okay, let's go back. You say just lightsaber duel. If it's a one-on-one, there's nothing. They're just on an empty space, just lightsaber duels. I think Clone Wars Anakin might have a better chance. But in an actual comp, I'll go back to my original answer and say OT Vader, Empire Strikes Back Vader wins that battle. That's a good one. That's a good one, Michael. So yeah, you guys out there, let me know in the comments below or wherever what you guys think. I might actually put this on Twitter, if you don't mind, Michael. I might make a poll out of this and see what people think out there. All right, so with that said, as always, thank you guys for staying with us for this 1 hour, talking Star Wars, talking the Clone Wars movie, as we did our rewind. So thank you, stay safe, be safe, and may the Force be with you.
Radio Rebellion.